tried to get a little bit of a break. I thought we were going to do testimony service, so I had time. Thank you. You don't always have the time you think you're going to have. We're going to be in the book of Luke today, chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 5 when you get there. All right. You ready? There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both were now well stricken in years. I know that there are some in here that I have a lot of respect for. They are mature or seasoned Christians. There are people in here that I look at and I consider to be righteous. Blameless? I don't know. Probably so. But righteous. But I also perceive that there are some here who are righteous and who have been doing the work of God for quite some time. But even being righteous, that doesn't mean that your righteousness will supersede God's timing. Righteous or not, God still has a plan for you. He still has his timing. Have you ever wanted something from God? And you prayed for it. And you prayed for it. And after you prayed for it, you figured that you would just thank God for it. I will thank God for the manifestation of this. The thing about it is when you prayed for it, you probably wanted it right then. And that's why you prayed for it. However, as time goes on, maybe it became less possible for that thing in your eyes that you prayed for. Have you ever prayed for something? And at that time, it made a lot of sense. It probably felt like it would have been easy for God to answer that prayer. But as the years go on, and years go on, and more years, you ever just say, well, maybe it wasn't supposed to be. Maybe it's not in the cards. If it's been this long, it might just not be for me. Zacharias and Elizabeth prayed for a child. And at the time they prayed for a child, don't you know that it made a lot of sense? We're a young couple. We're just getting started. You know, we're having a few difficulties, but we're both young and things are still possible. God, we've been trying. We're still young. We want a son. In the scriptures, we see that that didn't quite happen that way. Not only did it not happen, the scripture also tells us why it didn't happen. It says that he was old, she was old, and she was barren. The title of today's message is Three Strikes and You're In. Let's go on to verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Skip on down to 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. I have a feeling that it may be someone in here that's been holding on to something and been believing for something, but there's been a lot of years that have passed, and you may be starting to give up hope. You may have even forgotten it. You may just be ready to let it go. But I'm here to tell you today, don't let it go. Even being a righteous couple, do you know that you can still stumble over some of the things that God tells you? You can still not believe. You can be righteous and God give you a word, whether it's in your prayer time or through somebody else, and you cannot believe it. Zacharias had an issue with the black and white truth of God, but he was righteous. It doesn't mean that you won't face something that's going to make it difficult for you to hold on to what God has said. So in 18, it says Zacharias had an issue with what the angel of God said. The righteous Zacharias had an issue with the words that came out of Gabriel's mouth. And you would have thought Zacharias would have rejoiced at that news. It said that Gabriel said, hey man, your prayers were heard. Isn't that good news? Isn't it? If somebody says, hey man, God has heard your prayers. And immediately you would think, the answer is here, like finally it's coming. But the righteous Zacharias didn't see it that way. He didn't necessarily take the news that way. And it says, in 18, it says, man, I'm old. He said, whereby shall I know this? Where is this even coming from? Why should I believe this? For what? He says, I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. The funny thing is, God knew that they were old. He knew. And he also knew Elizabeth was barren. But he still said what he said. And the angel answering in 19, it says, the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So not only is Zacharias righteous, but now he can't talk. Sometimes even righteous people need to shut up and get out of the way. Sometimes righteous people say the wrong things. You know, the odd thing about it is, the angel could have picked any of the five senses to get rid of. He could have said, well, you're not going to hear until this word is fulfilled. You're not going to see. It won't be the first time when somebody was struck with blindness. But he picked his mouth. There are times where God wants to do something for you, and he just won't even let you get in the way because he wants to do it that bad. Because you have been righteous, because you have served, because you have that relationship with him, because he wants to bless you. He never said that he didn't. But sometimes the only way he can do what he wants to do for you is to put you in a place where you're not in the way. Obviously, had Zacharias still been able to speak, he would have still been saying stupid things, contrary to the promise of God. I could see it. You know, if he could still talk, he'd be walking around the temple like, man, I can't believe, man, this angel said that we don't have a son. Like, what kind of joke is that? Like, that ain't the God I serve. The God I serve wouldn't be making fun of me like that. I don't even know if he was from God. Yeah, I was scared, and he was tall, but I'm not sure if he was from God or not. Because that's ridiculous. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to read 20 again. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, skip to verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. So, just a brief history lesson, right? And you can answer out loud. Who was born what child was conceived through not natural means in the Bible? Was there another one? Who else? Sarah? Oh, was right, right. But they still use the traditional methods. Do I have to go any further than that? You know what I mean by traditional methods? Does that make sense? So I believe you. I know some of you are well-versed in the Word of God. So if you say Christ was the only one who was not conceived by typical or traditional methods. So oddly enough, between verse 20, when Zacharias was dumb and couldn't speak, and verse 24, Elizabeth's conception, something happened between those verses. What we do know, it doesn't go into specifics, thank God, but what we do know is that Christ was the only one born by non-traditional methods. So you imagine Zacharias, it's just funny how God can force you to get in line with his will. So you got a guy who desperately wants to talk again. Now, since he desperately wants to talk again, obviously, between verse 21 and 24, he decided to give some things a try. He decided to do his best. Even in his old age and his wife's old age and her being barren, he obviously was giving some things a try. I don't want to go into great detail about that either. Sometimes you just got to shut up and try. Whatever your try might be, that's not my business. You try what you want. Zacharias was forced into cooperation with God because what God wanted to do couldn't be hindered by Zacharias's non-belief. What God wanted to do couldn't be hindered by his physical limitations, his age, his wife being barren and her age. Sometimes God wants to do stuff that bad for you that he's just not going to let you get in the way. Hallelujah. 24, it talks about, it says, "And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary." See, the thing about God is when whatever you were hoping for or whatever you were praying for some years back, the thing about God is we learn in the scripture that he likes to operate a little bit different than we do. You believe that God should answer your prayers at the easiest and most convenient time. It's almost too easy for God to bless Zacharias with a child when they're both young. It's too easy to bless a woman with a child that's fertile and not barren. You would think differently about the things that you are still holding and believing God for. You would think a little bit differently about those things if you could grasp the concept that God doesn't like to do things when it's easy. He doesn't like to do things in your time or in your convenience or when it makes logical sense to us. He likes to make it hard. But is it really hard? In your eyes, it might be. It says, with God, all things are possible. Can I be honest with you? There's some things that you've been believing for and you ain't got it. You ain't got the money. You ain't smart enough. You don't have enough authority to make it happen. And I'll be honest with you. It's impossible for you. But with God, it says all things are possible. I'm sorry if it's been a long time. I'm sorry that you've had to wait. I'm sorry that you think that it's past. I'm sorry that you gave up. I'm sorry that you forgot about it. I'm sorry that you may have let it go. I'm sorry that you stopped talking about it. But now's the time to bring it back up. The name Zacharias means God remembers. Do you think that God perhaps forgot what he told you? I doubt it. Elizabeth's name means God is my oath. God remembers his oath. He remembers his promises. You may have forgotten. You might not think it's possible anymore. But isn't it ironic that God likes when things are impossible to man? He loves to work in those areas where it looks the darkest. We are used to him. That's the space that he likes to operate in when other people give up, when it looks bleak, or when the outcome is doubtful. That's and the reason is because he's not into sharing his glory with you. He's not. He doesn't want you to take any credit for what he's about to do. And you know what? Sometimes it'll look so bad that you can't possibly take credit if you wanted to, because you ain't got it. You can't do it. You never could. I never could. But thank God he can. Let's go to chapter 34. It says, still in chapter 1, verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I remember when I read this, and after seeing what happened to Zacharias, I was scared for Mary a bit. But it was two different questions. Now, had she not believed, the same fate would have probably befallen her, like Zacharias. The scripture makes it clear that Zacharias, he just straight up didn't believe it. It's with some things that God is doing, they are so big. With some things that he's promised you, they are so big and so seemingly far out of your reach, it'll lead you to ask some questions. It's one thing to ask a question. It's another thing to not believe. It's not that Mary didn't believe. She just wanted to know how. What's my part in this? What do I need to do? I've never known a woman to have a child that was a virgin. That's a fair question. How are we going to work this out? The angel explains how it's going to work out. It says in 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Man. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. It's just funny how God throws that in, like, just to get the glory again. Oh, not only you, but what about your cousin? Your cousin, too. You know, your old cousin Elizabeth. You know, the one that's barren. Yeah, I did that. Yeah. It says, she hath also conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Your old barren cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. How about that? 37 says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Skip to 57, still chapter 1, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Just like God said. That's ironic. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had shown great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother said, and his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. You know another thing that God really doesn't care about? Your traditions. He doesn't. Sorry. Apparently, that's what you did. You know, you name a child after, you know, fathers and, you know, ancestors or whatever. So they didn't even really ask her. they just automatically knew what to do. As soon as he came out, Zacharias, after the name of his father. But God's plan didn't necessarily have anything to do with their traditions. It usually doesn't. Elizabeth said, not so. Not this boy. This boy is John. And if you can imagine Zacharias being fully aware of what must happen for him to talk again, he's in the back like, Oh, this is Zacharias after his father. Anything but that name. 61, and they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by that name. And they made signs, and I guess maybe her word wasn't good enough. She had already pretty much spelled it out, John. They were like, well, let me go to the father and see if he's talking logical and he's making sense, because you're not making sense. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. Please call him John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately. He's like, thank God. And his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. The fact that years have passed, and you know in your heart that you heard God. You know that that thing or those things that you are holding on for, they are in God's plan. I get it. It's been a while. I get it. I get it. It seems far-fetched now here looking back years later. It seems a bit far-fetched, and you may think maybe you missed it a little bit, but you didn't. Actually, based upon the word of God and the things that Christ has done and the things that we read about God doing, the timing looks about just right. Amen. Because now it's even more far-fetched for you to have that thing that you know in your heart that God said you could have, because the years have passed, because now it looks even worse, it looks even less likely now, I think the timing is about right for God. I think he would like nothing more than to do something that you just won't believe, even after it happens. I have a feeling that he wants to do something that you never thought was possible, that you had forgotten about, that you had given up on. One, for his glory. Two, because you have been righteous and you have been faithful. And three, God does good for those that he loves. Lord, we thank you.